Y'all ready for some word this morning? I'm excited. I missed two services, so I'm a little fired up this morning. So I'll have you out by 1 o'clock, I promise. 1 o'clock. Don't Stop is my title. And we're going to be in 2 Kings, as you can see, chapter 2. And this is the story of Elijah and Elisha. And, you know, sometimes we think that the ministry or the message or the church or the movement is about one person or about a person. But I'm here to tell you that is not the case. The message goes on when the messenger dies. The gospel goes on when that person goes on. It doesn't stop by one mouth or by one person. It doesn't stop. The word keeps going forth, and it will, the Bible says, to every generation and forevermore. The word will continue to flow. And so you're here today, and you're like, I'm discouraged because I've been following God, I've been serving God, I've been trusting God, I've been praying to God, I've been obeying God, and my life just isn't that good. And I'm discouraged, and I'm tired, and I don't know why things happen. I don't know why I can't figure it out. I don't know why, you know, I'm always down, why things are always happening my way. I don't understand. Why is God not blessing me the way I think he should bless me? And I want to encourage you, don't stop. Don't you stop serving God. Don't you stop trusting God. Don't you stop believing God. Don't you stop obeying God. You stand your ground. God will, is, does, and always will show up in your life. Always. Because God is faithful. We may not be faithful, but God is. Have you ever seen how God has blessed you? Sometimes you're like, why did he bless me? I don't deserve that blessing. I don't even deserve that blessing. Why would God choose to bless me in this way when I so am not faithful to him like I should be? That's because God is faithful to you and because God loves you unconditionally. And I'm so thankful that the way God loves me is not based on the way that I act. Because if God's love was based on the way I act, I'd be in timeout a lot. You know what I'm saying? I would be in the corner a lot. I'd be getting the hickory switch. Anybody ever got a hickory switch when you were little? Oh, yeah. It's the baby boomer generation. Notice that. All baby boomers. I got one too. I remember the little church I went to on Southside when I was a little boy. Went to a little church down there. I believe it was that church. I don't know, some church. But I had to go out and mom made me pick a hickory switch. I don't know if you remember that or not. I remember it. I had to get a hickory switch off the bush right there at church. And she gave me a few whacks of the hickory switch across the bottom. Turned out all right, didn't I? I ain't no mental case, no psycho. I ain't no ward. It worked. Okay. Nowadays, my God, a hickory switch. Oh, my God. Let's call PETA. I know that's the pet people. Never mind. Let's call the ACLU. No, that's never mind. Let's call somebody. I mean, my God. I thank God I was whipped. Did I agree with all of them? No, Dad. But it's okay. It didn't harm me whatsoever. But anyway, what was I even talking about? Oh, don't stop. Yeah. So thank you, Mandy. So don't stop. No matter what you see, no matter what the devil whispers, don't you stop believing God. Sometimes the devil fogs up our headlights so much that all we see is what he wants us to see. But God's got something out there better. It's like when you turn your lights on bright. You can only see a little bit. When they're on bright, boom, all of a sudden you see farther out than you did before. That's how we got to look, farther out than what the devil's presenting us right now. Because what we see is right now. This is how you are right now. This is how it is right now. This is what it's going to always be right now. But we got to look a little further out and say, no, I'm not going to stop believing and following God no matter how much the world changes, no matter what they say, no matter how immoral it grows. I'm going to trust God and stand on his word. Because the same, I say this all the time, the same Holy Ghost that draws all men into himself is the same Holy Ghost today in 2017 that draws you to the cross. We don't need a different movement or a different Holy Spirit. It's the same one. One cross, one spirit, one baptism, one Lord, one body. That still is relevant right now. We say, well, we got to reach our young people at their level. Look, how many of you used to be 14? Especially if you're listening. Y'all, you're like, is that a trick question? Okay, when you were 14, what was you going through? Boys, right? Or if you're a boy, girls, or well, nowadays you can't do that. But back in our day, if you were a boy, you were thinking about girls. If you were a girl, you were thinking about boys. You know, you're going through the stage of peer pressure. You're going through physical, emotional changes. Your body's changing. Your mind's changing. You know, you start driving. You start dating. You're going through all these transitions of going from a child. You know what? That hadn't changed from George Ann's generation to Ashley's generation. That ain't changed. George Ann was 14 one time. She was 14 going through changes, going through hard, emotional, turbulent things where everything got her off course, where everything was a big issue because she's young, and she got through that. God helped her. God will help my generation. It's the same Lord and the same Spirit. So we can say, well, how do we reach? You reach in the same way you got reached. You tell them about Jesus. You tell them how much Jesus Christ can change their life. How he came, how he died, and how he rose, that they could be filled with everlasting life, everlasting joy, everlasting peace. Don't stop teaching your children about Jesus. So what the world don't talk about him? So what things have changed? So what even the church world has changed scope so much? God has not changed. When we prayed for Olivia that Wednesday night at the altar, that was the same format that you hear about when Peter and Paul and John gathered together and prayed in the power and the name of Jesus. The same power of Jesus that Peter looked at the crippled man and says, "Silver and gold have I not, but much as I have, I give unto you. Rise up and walk." That is the same prayer we prayed Wednesday night, that Olivia would rise up and walk. We prayed, "Silver and gold not going to fix your problem, but the God that I serve, the one that's the tomb is empty, he can fix your problem." And when the world hears that, when teenagers hear that, that there's hope for their depression, there's hope for their anxiety, there's hope for their transformation, there's hope for their transition, there's hope for their future, no matter what the world says, they know, if I got Jesus, I'm okay. If I got Jesus, it's all going to work out. That is what we still need to be doing, so don't stop. Let's get into Elijah and Elisha. 2 Kings chapter 2. Let me put my Superman glasses on. That's how I justify it. It's a fast statement, not a necessity, just so y'all know. 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 1. It came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by whirlwind that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said to Elisha, "Tarry here, wait here." Elijah's telling Elisha, "Stay right here, I pray you, for the Lord has sent me to Bethel." And Elisha said unto him, "As the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave you." You know what he's saying? I'm not going to stop here because you're going there. And wherever you are, that's where I want to be. I don't want to be away from you. I don't want to be away from the presence of God upon you. I don't want to miss a thing, as the theme song of Aerosmith in the old song Armageddon, right? I don't want to miss a thing. He didn't want to miss one thing that God was going to do, because he had a hunger and a desire to get what he had. See, it's all about appetite. All about our appetite. Some of us are Chinese food people, right? Some of us are Mexican food people. Some of us are just grits and shrimp people. That was all they had in Charleston, my God. Everybody wanted to try to give us shrimp and grits. It's okay. I mean, some of us just crave certain things. That's our appetite. Some of us love sports. Some of us hate sports. Some of us love rock music. Some of us hate rock music. We have different appetites for different things. Spiritually speaking, when your appetite is for the Lord, you don't want to miss a thing. You want to be where he is at and get what he has got in that moment, in that time, right then. You want everything God has to give you. And so did Elisha. He said, "I ain't going to leave you, man. I see how God used you, and I want to know what's going on." The sons, the prophets, verse 3, that were at Bethel, came forth to Elisha. Now, he was going to these prophet schools. Back in this day, they were training prophets, and they had schools and teachings of prophetic schools. And he was going to give his farewell, really, and probably last words of instruction. "Knowest thou that the Lord will take away your master from you, your head today?" He says, "Yes, I know it. Hold your peace." Elijah said to him, "Elisha, tarry here." He said it again, second time, "Wait here, I pray thee, for the Lord now has sent me to Jericho." And he said again, "As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee." So they went to Jericho. I'm not going to stop following you, Elijah. I'm not going to wait here because I want to see what God is doing, and I don't want to leave you. I'm going to go. I'm not going to wait. I'm going to follow you to the end, wherever that is. That's the mentality we need to have with God. There's a lot of pressure discouraging us from our walk with God. There's a lot of things that cloud our spiritual insides. A lot of distractions. You know, one of the biggest devils that's probably come out in the last few years is social media. I mean, honestly. Because we have become so consumed and so obsessed with following people of what they eat today at lunch. And the new dog they got. And the goldfish that died and went down the commode. And they got a picture of it, a video, live Facebook feed. I'm flushing down Goldie, live Facebook. Whoop. We think you really think we want to see that? Anyway, I'm just saying, we have become so obsessed with that. It's become such a distraction. Do you know that we are forming opinions, and we are our spirit's been shaped almost by what we see posted on social media? How many of you, when you see something posted, you know, Kelly back here posts something, and you see it, and you're like, I didn't know Kelly did that. It changes your whole opinion of her. I didn't know she drunk Diet Mountain Dew. Oh, my gosh. OMG. And it shapes our opinion. And we start changing who we are. It's become a distraction. We have to guard what comes in our spirit. We got to guard it. We got to protect it. And we got to see God and want God more than what we want the world. Because, man, the world is beating down your door, begging to come in. It is beating it, saying, please let me come into your life and take you over. Because what the world has to offer sometimes looks so good. Let's not lie about it. We know that sin can feel good and sin can look good. But we know what the Bible says about sin and what it produces in the end. Death. It destroys us. The young person that drinks for the first time to be social, to be hip, to be cool at a party, doesn't realize that it may be a lifelong struggle from the first time. The first time of trying to let the world in to be accepted can sometimes captivate them to where they're bound the rest of their lives. The world so much is screaming to get in. And we must, as Christians, say, I'm not going to stop for a minute and let you in my life. I'm going to keep going forward with the Lord, and I'm not going to let you derail me. I'm not going to let you distract me. I'm not going to let you disrupt me. I am going to keep going. So twice now he says, I'm going to keep going. I'm going with you, Elijah. You're not going to stop me. Verse 5, the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha. They said to him, knowest that the Lord will take away your master. I guess the Lord revealed this to the prophets as well, that he was about to leave the earth. He says, yes, I know it. Hold your peace. He didn't want to think about that at the moment. Elijah said to him, tarry here. Third time now, they're on this little journey. He says, wait here, for the Lord has sent me to Jordan. And he said, as the Lord liveth, as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they too went on. Three times now, Elijah's told him to wait here. It'd be like me and, I don't know, me and TJ. We're walking around, we're doing some, just we're spiritual friends, we're doing ministry together. And I say, TJ, I'm going to go down to Troutman. You stay here in Statesville. I ain't going to stay, I'm going with you. So we get to Troutman, I say, hey, I'm going to Mooresville. You stay here. Uh-uh. You can leave me here in Troutman myself. I'm going to Mooresville. Then we get to Mooresville. I say, I'm going to Huntersville. You stay here. Uh-uh. Why could he not get Elisha to stay put? Because Elisha had a hunger. He had a desire to be around the man of God and see what God was going to do. Man, if we get that appetite back, how do we get that appetite back? How do we, you may say, Pastor, I was there one time. Man, I went to every revival, every camp meeting, every time a door was open, you know, Sunday and Wednesday, man, that was the 2 days I didn't do nothing but be in the house of God. And we've lost that desire. We've lost that hunger. How do I get it back? We turn back to God and we talk to God and we say, God, I need to hear you. Feed me. Feel me. Speak to me, God. Rekindle that which I have lost, that I once again will want you more than I want the world or anything the world has to offer. I want you more. Don't be discouraged. And because I don't care how holy we think we are, how spiritually grounded we are, all of us are under attack. All of us face attacks of depression. Things come against our physical bodies. We have problems in our thinking. We have problems sometimes in our families, with our children, in our homes, with our finance. Don't let those things take you out and say, well, you know what? God ain't doing it for me, so I'm just going to give up because nothing seems to be working out. God did everything for you 2,000 years ago when he tore the veil and he went to a place that none of us could touch. He went into a rim behind a curtain that none of us had access to or authority to because we weren't qualified to. But Christ was qualified to go behind the veil and die and raise a third day for us that we will have everlasting life. The moment you give your life to Christ, you become forever. The expiration date stops. Yes, you may go by the way of the grave, but your soul is not dead. Your spirit is not dead. You are alive in Christ forevermore. Paul says, I have now passed from death into life. I've now passed. Already, I've passed into it. We're alive forevermore through Christ. That's what he did for us. Don't you stop because things get hard. Don't you stop because the pain is unbearable. Think about the pain of our Savior. Think about the pain he endured for us. Things happen. Things come against us. It's how we respond. It's what we come back with. Will we stand and say, Lord, I will serve you? Think about Paul. Man, Paul was in prison how many times? Whipped and beat how many times? Ran out of how many towns? Thrown in prison after prison all the time. But yet the last letter he wrote to us today that we're still reading, he was in a prison cell when he wrote it. Still telling us, be encouraged, finish the course, run the race. There's a crown of righteousness waiting on you. Still talking to us. Paul didn't stop. He didn't stop serving. He didn't stop ministering. He didn't stop writing. He didn't stop loving. He didn't stop encouraging. And for us, we can't stop either. Church, we can't stop loving others. We can't stop not forgiving others. We got to keep on. You know, I think about forgiveness a lot because people seem to hold so many grudges against each other for whatever reason. And I was reading this week where they came to Jesus and said, Lord, you know, the law says forgive 7 times. What do you say? He said, I say forgive 70 times 7. In other words, you forgive every time you have to. Every time. There's no end to it. You can't say, well, I forgave him once, you know, I ain't going to do it again. We don't stop forgiving others. We don't stop being a light to others. That's why I preached a few weeks ago about take the high road. Remember that? The high road. That we always must take the high road. And man, that road's hard to take. Because I know we've been misdone. I know we've been abused. I know we've been mistreated. I know we've been talked about. You know, I know one of the because I've raised three. I know with teenagers, one of the big things is that, you know, everybody talk at school, people talk about them and they judge them and all that. And I've told my kids, look, they talk about adults too. I mean, Chuck can talk about you. You know, people talk about you. I've heard, and I'm playing. But you know what? We get talked about. Don't matter. It don't stop because you get out of high school. They're going to talk about you. And, if you let it take control over you, it will enslave you. So don't let people's opinions have power over your life. You just be who God called you to be. I understand. I've told Melanie many times. I get it. And I don't expect no amens. Because if you do, I'm going to be really hurt. So just keep it to yourself. I realize your humble pastor that stands before you, the wonderful, incredible human being that I am, I realize that I get talked about. And I realize there are services where many may say, well, I didn't really like the songs. Or, well, I didn't really... the message didn't really reach me, or, you know, I don't like how the dress code is, or, you know, it was too cold in the church, too hot in the church, or why ain't that building done, or why ain't the parking lot fixed, or why ain't the grass mowed, or why do you wear a suit, or why didn't I wear a suit, why did I wear a tie, why don't I wear a tie? You know, I get that. That's okay. I just stay true to God. I'm just faithful to who he called me to be, and that's all I can do. Let the chips lie where they lay. And when God checks me, and Doc will tell you this, me and Doc go way back. And we got kindred hearts, me and Doc, I think. We're both very, Doc won't tell you because he's a Marine, but he's very sensitive inside to things of God. He's very tender. And we've talked before. There have been times Doc, you know, he'll call me out or he'll check me at the door or he'll say something. And I don't just blow up, do I, Doc? I'm like, you know, I'll listen to that, brother, and thank for saying that. And, you know, I'm sure I'm right in your own, but I'll listen to it. And I'll absorb that. It's okay. I know none of us are perfect. We must not stop doing and being what God wants us to be. Elisha was not going to miss out on what God had. He said, I'm not going to stop. I'm going to follow you wherever you go. So let's see what happens. What verse are we on, Ashley? Thank you. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went, stood to view, and they stood the two by Jordan. And as they're standing there, Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together. He smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither. It means they were, you know, apart. So that the two went over on dry ground. Who else does that sound like? Moses, right? He only had a staff. And the water departed, and they crossed on dry land. Man, God's still working. The message and the progress of the assignments and the appointments of God doesn't stop by one messenger. Right. Think about this. Abraham died. Who came next? Isaac. He died. Who was next? Jacob. He died. Who was next? Joseph. He died. Then we go to Moses. He died. Who was there? Joshua. He took over. Then we move on up and we had King Saul. God took him out. Who he raised up? King David. David went out. Who came up? King Solomon. And we see the pattern of how God didn't stop his plan. It kept progressing generation after generation. They can shut the preacher up, but they can't shut the message up. They can shut down a church, but they can't shut down the kingdom. Does somebody hear me? It is going to go forth forever and ever. It's powerful, and nothing can stop it. Even Jesus told Peter. Jesus told him what will happen 2,000 years ago. I'm going to build my church on a slab foundation with half brick in a metal building. That's not what he said. I'm going to build my church. And the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. Nothing can stop what I'm going to do. Let hell rage. Let the fire burn. But nothing going to stop my kingdom from coming forth. That's the gospel. So don't put so much faith and credence in one voice or one messenger. Put it in the message. Put it in the King. God's got this. This is why I don't worry. This is why I don't fear. God has me. Whether I'm here, whether I'm hither, or whether I'm thither, I'm with Him. I'm with Christ. I win. Mr. Williams used to tell me that all the time. Go visit him, and yeah, he'd be in the hospital or something. He goes, you know what, preacher? I win either way. If I'm here, if I'm there, I win. He told me that I don't know how many times. I win. I'm a victor because God's got me in the good, in the bad, in this earth, in his kingdom. God has me. And the Bible says that no man can pluck me out of his hand. His hand has me. It's got a grip on me. And nothing can pry the fingers of a holy God apart from his seed. I'm his forevermore. Elijah, part of the waters, crossed on dry land, just like Moses. Let's see what happens. Verse 9. It came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said to Elisha, ask what I shall do for you before I be taken away from you. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. How many of us request that? We're like, well, I really want that gold watch that you got. You know, I want that old truck you got parked in the carport. I'd like to have that nice picture, you know, hanging in your foyer or your silverware that's plated with gold tips. That's what I want. He says, I want a share of what you've got. Now, this double portion doesn't actually mean twice as much. If you do the translation on it and reading, it means a firstborn's share. That's what it really means, a firstborn share. So we know the firstborn got more than the rest of the kids in that custom. He says, I want a firstborn share. I want what you got. And it wasn't for selfish reasons. There was no ill intent. It wasn't like the man, remember the man in the Bible that went and tried to buy what Paul had? He tried to buy it. I see you healing people. How much money do you want for that? I mean, think you could buy that gift. Elisha wasn't trying to buy the gift. He wasn't doing it for self-inducive. He was doing it because he wanted to carry out and do the Lord's work. And he realized He couldn't do it apart from him. Church, we can't do anything without the Holy Spirit in our lives. We can't function. We can't serve. We can't obey. We can't even trust him, not really, without the power of the Holy Spirit inside of us. It's what equips us to do what we do. We can do nothing without it. So he asked for a double portion. What a prayer. Look what verse 10 says. He says, "Thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I'm taken from you, it shall be unto you. But if not, it will be not." Gee, the guy already had left him three times, right? What do you think's going to happen now? Lunch break? No. No way he's stopping now. There's no way Elisha's going to stop now from following Elijah. Because he says, if you're there when it happens, you'll get it. Church, we got to be where it happens. We've got to be where God is at. And sometimes that's hard because we got to press through all the junk that the devil has put in front of us, all the obstacles that are sitting there that we got to try to work through and work around, but we can do it through the power of the Holy Spirit. We can break down every obstacle. We can toss every stone out of the way, and we can get to where God is at. But we must have a desire for it. We must want it. People wait an hour sometimes on Saturday night to eat it out back, right? Hour wait, okay. We pray a 2-minute prayer. Well, I ain't felt God. I didn't feel no Holy Spirit. I didn't feel no chills. Nothing happened to me. Nothing's changed. Mailbox still empty. Dog's still sick. Wife still nag. Nothing's happened. Nothing's happened. God ain't changed nothing. Wait. Wait upon the Lord. But the word wait don't mean just we just idly say, well, I hope I have. Wait is with expectation. The word wait really translates into eagerly expecting. That we're waiting, we're expecting, we're trusting God till it happens. It don't have to happen today. I want it to happen when God wants it to happen. Because I may not be ready for it today. I may blow it today. I may not be in the position for it today. But when it's the right day, God will bring it. And that should be our prayer. Lord, I'm waiting on when you want to bring it to my life. But in the meantime, I don't stop. I don't stop praying because God ain't answered it. I've used Joe Brown's story many times. Prayed for a dear friend in Ohio for many, many years to be saved. Prayed for 40-some years for this guy. 40-some years. That's a long time to pray for somebody. 40-some years. God will save him. He gets a call out of the blue one day, several years ago. And guess what, Joe? He's in his 60s at this point. I got saved. Joe didn't stop praying for that friend. He didn't stop praying. It doesn't matter if the mountain doesn't move right now. You keep praying. You don't stop believing that the mountain is going to be moved. You don't stop serving because you're discouraged. The first thing I see as a pastor, and I say this, and I see it all the time, and I know what it is. I know it's the devil. I know what it is. It's just a bad old nasty devil. That's all it is. But when people hit a hardship, and they start stopping coming to church, and I'll call and check on them. Well, I've been going through some things. I'll get back. Hello? Where could you be? You're going through some things. You're struggling. You need some help. Hello? This is where you ought to be. This is what this place is for. This place is not for the stiff-necked, holier-than-thou saints of God. It's for the people that need a Savior. That's what it's for. That's where help is found. Where else does the discouraged, the drug addict, the alcoholic, the bound, the grieving, the hardened heart, where else are they going to find the help they need if it's not in the house of the Lord? You get discouraged, don't drop out of church. That's exactly what the devil wants you to do. People tell me why I'm not living right, I can't come to church. Praise Jesus. Find me one person that can stand up this morning and say, "Pastor, I'm living right." All the time. I mean, that's what it's for. You don't think God loves you through your struggles? Man, you don't think God loves you through your storm, through your battle, through your stronghold? You may be walking here on Sunday in chains, you're so bound. But thank God you're here. You may be a prisoner of war now, but man, you can be set free by the hand of God. That's what my God does. That's what this place is for. So he told him, if you're with me when it happens, you'll get it. If not, oh well. Verse 11. It came to pass as they still went on, they talked, that behold, what a glorious sight this must have been. Whew. There appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and they parted them asunder. It split them. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. He did not die by the way of the grave. God translated him as he was walking. Think about this. Wouldn't it be great to be walking in Walmart? Oh my gosh. You know, you're over there looking at, I don't know, some Bermuda shorts or something for your vacation. And you're over there at the rack, and you're going to the rack trying to find your size, but they never have your normal size. They're trying to get your size, and all of a sudden, whoosh, I'm out of here. I is gone. Home. Man, Elijah did not die of sickness or disease or a bad mind. Church, he didn't die of natural causes. God took him where he was and took him to be in his. Wow. This is symbolic and type of shadow of what Christ is going to do for us. That there'll be another generation of Elijahs that'll be walking along, and the power of God and the breath of God is going to breathe and capture us up and take us from this rim and set us in the next rim. With no burial site, with no funeral home involved, with no grave, with no dirt, with no tent, we will be translated by the hand of God. There's a generation that's going to happen. The Bible is clear on that. Those that are alive and remain shall be changed. Thank God for that. And Elijah was changed. Verse 12. We've got a couple more verses. We'll wrap it up here. Elisha saw it and he cried. He loved Elijah. He said, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. He was so grieved, that was part of the grieving process, they would tear their clothes. He took up the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. So he's holding Elijah's mantle. He took that mantle, Elijah's mantle, that fell from him, and he smote the waters and said, think about this question, where is the Lord God of Elijah? Notice he didn't say, where is the power of Elijah? Where is the Lord of Elijah? Where is the God of Elijah? Where are you at, God? Are you going to show up? Can you help me? Are you there? Because I know what the prophet told me, that if I saw him, this would fall upon me. So he's testing now. Lord God, are you there? And he smote the waters, and they parted hither and thither. They parted apart, and Elisha went over. Notice what happened. The message, the anointing, the power of God went on. It didn't die with Elijah. As much as we don't like to say this, because I don't care who we are, all of us have a certain amount of pride. We all want to be needed. We all want to be important. We all want to be appreciated. But God is not dependent on us to do what he needs to do. If we don't want to do it, I'll find somebody that will. I'll raise somebody else up. You don't want to do it, it ain't going to stop. I don't care how popular you are. I don't care how many millions follow you. If I take the mantle from you, I'll give it to someone else. And I realize that I'm a voice of the Lord, ordained and called by God. This is not something that I chose to do. It was something that God called me to do. But I realize if my voice is off the earth tomorrow, it would not impact at all the gospel message or the kingdom or the future of anything God had planned. It would continue to go. God would raise somebody else. Keep moving the gospel forward. Keep moving it forward. Everybody talks about when Billy Graham passed away, it'll be an error, and it will be. It'll be a sad day for many people. But the gospel of grace doesn't end when Billy Graham passes away. The gospel of grace will continue to be preached. It'll continue to go forward. And you know what? If I don't go like Elijah does and I go by the way of the grave, it don't mean I don't believe that my dying last breath that there'll be somebody that'll be another Elijah. And I won't give up on that. I'll be like, Lord, maybe it's not your plan for me, but I know it's your plan for some generation, and I'm okay with that because I know it's going to come to pass. Just because we don't see something doesn't mean we should doubt it. There's a lot of things we don't see we believe in. I mean, you believe your car in the parking lot right now, don't you? I don't see yours, Jeremy. You believe your car's out there. How do you believe your car? You don't know it's out there. Somebody could have come hot-wired your car. I'll be gone. Who knows? I see a couple of things. A couple of y'all out there. Everybody's looking now. They could be gone. You don't know they're out there. You're just trusting they're still out there. How come we don't trust God all the time, every day, in every situation? My daughter Ashley, I was so proud of her. We were talking another day, and she was talking about, you know, trusting God. And she goes, you know, she's talking about a personal situation with me and sharing it. And she says, you know, I got thinking, if I don't trust God now for what I'm going through in my life, how can I trust God with my kids, with my family, with my home when I get older? Isn't that wise for a 14-year-old? That if we don't trust God now for what I'm going through, how can I trust him later? So, yeah, we trust God now. We don't have to agree with our situation, and we don't have to like her. Some of them say, oh, I rejoice in sorrows. Oh, you're a big, fat liar, pants on fire. There ain't nobody rejoices in sorrow. You may act like, you may put on some facade. Oh, yeah, nothing gets me down, man. I'm eye of the tiger. Dun, 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 dun. I'm eye of the tiger, man. I'm rising to the rival, I'm rising. It's the eye of the tiger, baby, and nothing gets me down. No, no. You're not human. Either you have no sound mind or you're high or drugged as a kite. Because if you're sober in any kind of way, you're going to feel pain. You're going to feel depression. You're going to feel fear. There are going to be times in your life that you may even question your faith. Is God hearing me? Is God answering me? That's the point you remind yourself. I'm not going to stop believing and trusting what God has done for me. He is Lord forever. Whether I feel it or not, he's God, and that's already settled. That's a done deal. It's not even a question, is he God? Of course he's God. I don't have to prove that. Well, I don't know. He ain't been God to me. Well, don't change he ain't God. Many of you didn't vote for Donald Trump, but don't change he's president. I'm just saying. Just because we don't agree with God or because we think he's not moving don't mean he's not still God. He is moving. I told somebody the other day that it's actually harder to disprove God than it is to prove God. Next time somebody starts questioning you about, you know, they're atheists or they don't believe, I don't believe in God and I believe in science and da-da-da-da, just begin to say it's harder for you to prove there's not a God than it is that there is a God. Just look at what's around us. How can we possibly, I mean, think about it. It's beautiful, our creation. Absolutely gorgeous, the things that God has created. It's springtime right now, right? Spring is in the air. Well, it's a little cool, but it's almost spring. I got a beautiful rose bush in my yard blooming. Beautiful. You're starting to see yellow flowers pop up, right? Easter lilies were popping up a few weeks ago. Trees are blooming with little white blooms all over. Things are coming to life. God's breath is breathing life. Nature itself, as we look at it, see it growing, tells us there is a God who has everything in motion. Don't you stop believing. One more verse, I believe, verse 15. And when the sons of the prophets, which were to view at Jericho, saw him, they said, the spirit of Elijah rest on Elisha. And they came to meet him and bowed themselves to the ground before him. The prophets recognized he was the new leader God had raised up. They recognized that the anointing of Elijah fell on Elisha, and that everything was going to be okay. Just like when Moses died. You know, when Moses died, I'm sure the people grieved. Moses, our leader, is dead. What do? We can't go on. We can't go forward. Here comes Joshua. Love Joshua 1. Be not afraid. Be not dismayed. Joshua 1:8. Y'all ought to read Joshua 1:8. I love that verse. Be not afraid, be not dismayed. He's encouraging his people. We're going to get through this. God's going to finish what he started. Don't worry about it. Remember when King Saul died and Samuel, the prophet, says, how long will you mourn for Saul? He's dead. It's over. You're going to just stay in that place of deadness? I've got something better for you. I've got a little shepherd boy. Oh, he's going to be a fine man and a good king. And I want to raise him up to serve me and to serve this nation. His name's David. How long are you going to mourn for a door that's been closed when you can celebrate a door that God wants to open? How long? The point is, it's over. I look back at my kids, and there's times I wish they were little, and there's times I praise God they're not. Depends on what mood I'm in. And I look back, and especially when Melanie shows a picture like she did yesterday of our kids. We were, you know, they were little, and we were all together. It's like, oh, that's a good time. But you know what? That time's over. So my kids, can't, for you mamas that can't let go, let it go. Let it go. Man, you're missing out on a whole world out there. Oh, my. I know my guy might be a little different, but I'm telling you, I missed raising our kids to degree for us. That was a good time of our life. But you know what? There's a good time of our lives now. We're in a whole different season. I want to enjoy what God has for me now. I can't make my kids go back to being little. I can't make Ashley go back to the time before she was sassy and rolled her eyes. I wish I could. But I can't. She's 14. It is what it is. Do I miss that little sweet 8-year-old angel that I was her whole world? Of course I do. But she's grown up. That's what we do. So what do I do now? I embrace the new Ashley. The teenage Ashley. The Ashley that's growing smarter and growing more independent and growing into a woman. I got to appreciate that part of her life. Don't stop, church. Please don't stop. Keep on moving and keep on going and keep on believing no matter what you see. God is going to move. God's not done. You trust him. Chuck, come on up here, you and Jewel, and I'm going to have the church stand, if you would, for a minute. I want to say a prayer for the whole church this morning. We'll pray together this prayer. I know there's a heavy garment of discouragement in this generation. There's a heavy garment of depression upon this generation. And many are trying to treat it with medication, with pills, trying to make our lives better and smoother and more peace. But we know that the only remedy is peace in Christ. She's 20 years old now, right? Yeah, we need to pray for her. This young girl had such a heart for God and loved God and just got with some wrong people, some wrong friends. And she's in a very, very bad place right now. But we know that God can set that free. We know God can deliver that. And so we don't want to stop believing that God can set Chelsea free. We don't want to stop, no matter what we see, no matter what she does or how she lives, we don't want to stop believing God's hand is stronger and God's hand is greater. So remember her in your prayers for sure. I want to pray with the church right now. If you would, just pray with me. Lord, I lift this body up this morning. For all of those that are at a point of giving up, throwing in the towel, for those that are at a point of such discouragement that they've lost their vision, they've lost their focus, they've lost their direction. God, I just pray that you reinstill in them the strength that only comes from you. Encourage their hearts, take the weight off, deliver and set free the captive this morning, God. And let your peace, let your presence, and let your power fill our hearts, our souls, and our minds this day, God. As we want to be encouraged to walk out of this sanctuary today, not stopping what we are doing, but believing you, praying, and not giving up, and not giving in, and not listening to the lies, but keep on keeping on doing what you've called us to do until we see the answer. We need some Jacobs, Lord, to wrestle against the angel and not let go until we receive what you have for us. I pray for strength and for overcoming power, for our faith to be elevated in this place, that we are increased in strength,
knowledge and power by your Holy Spirit. And we give you all praise and all glory. And Lord, I pray for Chelsea that the chains of addiction be broken, that the poisonous lies of the enemy, that the death grip upon her life, that she be set free by the Holy Ghost that's inside of her, that it will come out and overshadow the darkness. In the name of Jesus, we declare this. And we give you all honor and all praise and all glory in Jesus' name. And the church said, amen.